Last week we began an introduction to what I'm going to be doing on Wednesday evenings. Turn with me, if you would, in the Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11. And we'll begin there and hopefully get beyond there today. We began there last week and didn't go any further. But boy, did that scripture preach last week. Amen. Because there's something about the Holy Spirit that I really feel endeavored to impress upon every one of us, is that when you talk about the Holy Spirit, many times people just start thinking that this is something that's way out there, or this is something that's kind of spooky, or something that's kind of different. As I told you last week, I was raised in a church where we didn't even talk about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And to be honest with you, I would much rather to have not been taught anything than to have been taught wrong. Because it's much easier to learn something you don't know anything about than it is to relearn something you've been taught wrong about. And I realize that when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit, there's been a lot of things taught wrong. But there's one place that we can find the truth, and it's called the Word of God. And the title of this sermon is "The Holy Spirit Equals Wisdom." And I think if we'll begin to understand that the whole reason for the Holy Spirit is to bring the wisdom of God, then everything else will fall into place as it needs and as it should. And that there's a place to understand that you and I can have the very wisdom of God now. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever you're dealing with, whatever's going on, I can know the wisdom of God now. And I dare say there's probably not anybody in the room that doesn't have a place in our lives right now. We need the wisdom of God. Is that everybody? Amen. Amen. Every one of us, we need the wisdom of God. And the Holy Spirit, as we're going to look at these scriptures, is here to bring us the very wisdom of God. In Isaiah 11, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. This is where we start last week. It says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Talking about Jesus and the church. And then it says this. This is who we're talking about. "The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Then these scriptures begin to tell us all about the Spirit of the Lord. And this is what I preached last week. And I'm going to say it and try to move on. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Number one, the Spirit of wisdom. That's what the Spirit of the Lord is all about. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of understanding. If you need wisdom, if you need understanding, we need to know the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of counsel. There's some folks that need some counsel. Some godly counsel, man's counsel. Maybe it didn't get you anywhere you needed to be. But if you get the counsel of God, you know what I've understood about the counsel of God? The counsel of God equals the power of God on behalf of that counsel to make it come about. God's awesome. And then, of course, it says it right after that. It says, also, the Spirit of might. And there's some folks that need some might happening. That in the natural, your natural strength, your natural might is not enough to get through and get you where you need to be. Well, the might of God is available through the person of the Holy Spirit. Y'all see how this preached last week? And then he said, in the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, it's very interesting that when people hear these words, the fear of the Lord, there's a lot of things that go out there in people's minds. A lot of folk wonder, well, if I'm supposed to fear God, how can I love God? Because you really can't love something you fear. You really can't. Not in its truest form. You can maybe respect something, but you can't really love something you fear. And this fear is talking about a reverential awe or a reverential fear. That the reverential fear of God comes by the wisdom, the counsel, and the might, and the strength of the Holy Spirit. And that when we understand that, I'm going to try not to get way off here with this, but when we understand that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace, that I come boldly with the reverential fear of God. I don't come up to the face of God and say, look, you've been messing up here. Or I don't come to the face of God and say, you know what? I don't like the way you've done anything. Now, I want you to know something. If you need to say that to God, He's big enough to handle it. But when we come before God, there should be a reverential fear, and awe of who he is. Because of Jesus, you and I have instant access to the throne or the face of God. And because of that, we can go straight to him, and the grace of God will be there to do what needs to be done. Okay, that's another message, but I just wanted to say that real quick. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, in verse 2 here, it talks about the very characters of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at some more scriptures here, but we're going to also see that the character of the Holy Spirit is also, will always bring to us the wisdom of the counsel of God. And the wisdom of the counsel, in the counsel of God, is this word. The Bible. The inspired by the Holy Spirit word. Yes, men wrote it. But these men were chosen by God. And God breathed into their ears the very word by the Spirit of God. And they penned these words, and these words became the Bible. This Bible is the Word of God. See, some folks say, well, it's the Word of God. But I want us to see it's the Word of God. If you want to know what God's saying, this is what he's saying. Unfortunately, we have denominations and we have generations of people who have lived by a knowledge of the Word of God, but not revelated or revealed by the Spirit of God. That's why we have a lot of religion, a lot of stuff going on that wouldn't know the Spirit of God if he sat down next to him. And you and I need to understand, and we're going to talk about this probably on Wednesday night. I doubt I'll get to this today. But we're going to talk about this and why I believe that the church is so ignorant of the things of the Spirit. But the Word of God and the Spirit of God go hand in hand. There are too many folk that say they're hearing by the Spirit of God who have not been grounded in the Word of God. And so when something is said to them, they think it's the Holy Spirit. But because they don't know the Word of God in its true form and have not had the revelation of the Word of God, then they're hearing all kinds of stuff out there. You'll hear people, I've heard people say, well, you know, God told me to divorce this one and marry this one. And God told me to pack up and move to Abu Dhabi, or God told me to do this and God told me to do that. And you know, a lot of times what folks use in the church is they say, well, you know, God told me to go elsewhere. So that way nobody can argue with them. And it's just their flesh. It's just their flesh. Or God told me to do this, or God told me to do that, and God told me to do this. Because you see, if you come to me and you say, Brother Mike, God told me to do this, then how can I say to you, you can't argue with that? Because for me to argue with you is to say that either one, God didn't say that to you, or you don't know the voice of God. But it doesn't take too long if you know the Spirit of God that you'll hear in that discernment that comes on the inside and say, man, they're missing it. They're missing it. Because if you know the Spirit of God, the Spirit always brings witness to the Word and will help you understand what it's saying. That's another part of what we'll be talking about. On Wednesday nights, we're going to be going through the ministries, the gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit. Look at this book. Isn't it great? There is this much about the Holy Spirit in this Word. I love it. I love it. We're going to exhaust this book. This book was written by Dr. Lester Summerall. I shared with you last week. I got to sit under his ministry, and I believe I receive an impartation from sitting under that ministry. I believe that every ministry I ever sat under, that I receive an impartation of what the gift of God is in them. I pull on that. I said, when pastors preaching and or teaching, I say, Lord, I pull on that gift. And I receive an impartation of that gift, and the anointing of that gift, and the wisdom of that gift, and the counsel of that gift, because he's my pastor. And I pull on that, and I receive that, and it makes a difference today and down the road. Makes a difference, if you understand how to do that. But anyway, when I sat under Dr. Lester Summerall, and he began to teach about the Spirit of God, and Dr. Lester Summerall was in his 80s when I sat under him, and he had known the Holy Spirit for 50 years. He walked talking with God by the Holy Spirit, learning to hear God by the Holy Spirit, learning to know God by the revelation of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit revealed. You can go to church from now till Jesus comes. And we do not have revelation coming forth by the Spirit of God, then we have a form of religion. that denies the power of God, because without the Holy Spirit, you don't know the power of God. I like to say it this way, and I don't want to get people all bumfuzzled with what's happening when and where. The three are one, but God the Father is seated on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father as your intercessor. And the Holy Spirit of God is in the earth today, dwelling on the inside of us and dwelling in our midst. That's who is with us. It's important to know God the Father, to relate with God the Father. But I guarantee you, we will never totally understand how to relate to God the Father if we don't, first of all, know Jesus the Son, and then understand that Jesus the Son said, it's important that I go, because when I go, there's another that's going to come, and he's not going to be around you. He's going to indwell on the inside of you. And he's going to reveal, he said, I'm going to tell you about the Father, and the Holy Spirit's going to tell you about me, and when you find out about me, I'm going to tell you about the Father. And it's just going to be a circle that you'll go round and round for the rest of your life. I believe for the rest of eternity. Glory to God. So we understand it. So the Holy Spirit will always exalt the Word of God. And the more knowledge that we have of the Word, it is easier for the Spirit to guide us. If someone says to you and says, I've got the Word of the Lord for you, Anna. One of the first questions in conversation is, when's the last time you've been in the Word? Should be. Because you don't want anybody coming to you with the word of God, with the word of the Lord, if they hadn't been in the word. You know, we got a lot of squirrely folk out there that feel like just because the wind blows a certain way, they've gotten a message from God. And if you find out that they hadn't been in the word of God, they hadn't got a message from God, they got a message from the wind. And there's a lot of folks grabbing those messages and running with those messages and living by those messages, wondering why God's not involved in what they're doing. Why they don't see God. One of the first questions you should ever find out, don't receive a word of the Lord from somebody you don't know, number one. Know of them or know somebody that knows of them. Like if somebody's in this pulpit and they've got the word of the Lord for you, you can guarantee that they wouldn't be in this pulpit if your pastor didn't recommend and acknowledge and receive that word. That's why he didn't let a lot of people preach in this place. Because if you don't know of the Spirit that's working in them, I'm preaching something I didn't know I was going to preach this morning, but this is good stuff. This is good foundational stuff. Because there's a lot of ignorance about the person of the Holy Spirit. And the person of the Holy Spirit will only reveal to us what's written in this Word. And will lead us and guide us by the wisdom and the counsel of this Word. And if you hear something that's opposite or not or contrary to this Word, then you have to be very, very careful, and you need to know. Number one, if somebody's coming to the word with me with the word of the Lord, is have they been in the Word? Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to John chapter 15. Well, I got to Scripture 2, so that gets a little further today. Now, my desire this morning, and I know last week I got excited and I got to preach on me and all that kind of stuff, but my desire is to give us a foundation that we can build upon. And we're going to build on Wednesday nights, if it's just Lori and I. But we're going to build, because she was the only one that showed up last time we met on Wednesday. But we're going to build a foundation of the Word of God and about the Holy Spirit. But if I can give you in this introduction something, if you can't make it on Wednesday night, so you can begin with, then I believe we will have accomplished what God wants to accomplish in our midst. In John chapter 15 and verse 26, look what Jesus says. If you have a red letter edition, you see this is Jesus that is speaking. He said, but when the Helper comes, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The actual Greek word there is the word parakletos. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. He said, but when the Helper, when the Parakletos comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, Jesus said in John, I think it's chapter 16, verse 16, he says, Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then he says here, he said, when the Helper comes, the Parakletos comes, He said, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. This word parakletos, these are the definitions of the word parakletos. Number one, intercessor. So he says, this one who's coming, this helper who's coming, is number one, an intercessor. An intercessor. Number two, a counselor. Intercessor, counselor. Number three, advocate. Number four, comforter. Advocate and comforter. He's the intercessor, the counselor, the advocate, and the comforter. He says, when the helper comes. Now, how many knows if you need a helper, it'd be great to know that your helper is an intercessor. It'd be great to know that your helper is a counselor. It'd be great to know your helper is the advocate. And last of all, your helper is a comforter. If you need comforter, the helper is your comforter. Because there's some times, and many of us have been in situations in life when nobody could have words to give us comfort. But we can find that comforter through the helper of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said, I'm going to send him to you. Now, if we don't know about him, we can't receive him. If we don't understand him, if we haven't developed a lifestyle of understanding how to hear his voice, then when we need the intercessor, when we need, I don't know about you guys, but it's one thing when I call Martha and I thank God for Martha. And I say, and if I would call Martha and say, Martha, would you pray for me about this situation? And Martha said, of course I'll pray for you about this situation. And she bows her head and she says, God, I bring Mike to you right now. And I ask you, Lord, to move on his behalf. And in her wisdom, and her strength and her knowledge of the word and her strength and her knowledge of me, she can pray what the word says about me and pray what she feels in her heart about me. But it's another thing when I say, Holy Spirit, I need you to be my intercessor right now. Holy Spirit, there's not anybody who understands what you understand. As a matter of fact, I don't even understand what you understand. I don't know the end from the beginning. You do. I don't understand what life has done to bring me to where I am today, but you do. And Holy Spirit, I need you to intercede for me. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit says, I'll take care of that. I can handle whatever your situation is. He says, I'll intercede for you. The neat thing about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get to this in the classes on Wednesday nights, is the Holy Spirit will intercede from here out. I can say, Holy Spirit, in the natural, I don't know the words to pray. I don't know how to deal with what I'm dealing with. But I know the intercessor on the inside of me knows way more than I know. So I'm just going to give to that. And I can pray with perfection. Not in my strength, not in my knowledge, but in the strength and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the intercessor, the advocate, the comforter of God. It's what he's all designed to do. The Holy Spirit equals wisdom. And isn't it amazing that we've been born again, Spirit-filled people, and we know very little about the person of the Holy Spirit. Very little. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, when you know before God, it's one thing to have the enemy to accuse you, because you know the enemy is your accuser. And he goes to God and he says, she'll never make it. Do you know what she did? Do you know what thoughts I threw in her mind and she received them? Do you know what he was doing last night? Do you know what came out of his mouth this week? The enemy is your accuser. But worse than the enemy, church, the greatest accuser I know about, for me personally, is Mike Whited. Because I will say, God, you can't use me. Look at what came out of my mouth this week. You can't use me. Look at the way I acted. Look at what I did last night. Look at God, the greatest accuser is myself. But you see, the Holy Spirit is my advocate before the Father. And I say, Holy Spirit, in and of myself, I don't have what it takes. But I thank God that you're alive and resonant and well on the inside of me. And I thank you that you are my advocate with the Father. And even though I can accuse myself, you say, but oh, wait a minute. There was a day when Mike said, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that made all the difference. And your advocate, and I wish I knew all the lawyer terms about what an advocate really is. Because when you start seeing that the Holy Spirit is the true advocate, wow, what a difference that makes. What a difference that makes. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. The Holy Spirit is your counselor. The Holy Spirit is your intercessor. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Scripture 3, miracles are happening in our midst. Here in Ephesians is this great prayer of revelation from Paul, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who I believe had such Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was an extremely intelligent person, but the Apostle Paul was a man who developed a lifestyle knowing the Holy Spirit. He couldn't have written two-thirds of the New Testament without it. But look at what he says here. I'm going to start with verse 15, but I really want to get to verse 17. It says here, he says, that Paul's praying. He says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. That's what our thing is. Love God, love others. He said, of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then this is what he's making mention of in our prayers. Listen to this. He said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you follow me where we are with this. This is Paul praying for you and for me. He's praying for the church. He says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now he's saying here, it's important. And y'all, if Paul prayed it, how much more should we pray it? He said, I'm praying that the God of all creation, the God of all glory, would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This morning as I was sitting at the breakfast table and I was eating a biscuit and I wasn't thinking about the biscuit, to be honest with you, but I was thinking about these words. And this is what I heard when I saw the word revelation. This is what I heard by the Spirit. I heard revelation equals revealed action. Anytime I receive revelation of the Word of God, then there's a revealed action. Sometimes that revealed action is just necessarily change. Sometimes when the Spirit of God speaks to us and there is a revelation, there is a revealed action. There's something that needs to happen. Something needs to transpire now because I've gotten a word from God. A revelation means there's a revealed action that must take place. There's an action. There's something that's got to happen. You see, there's a lot of folk that are very satisfied with their religion being a place that they go into church and they get their ticket punched by God. You know, I went to church Sunday, so I got my duty done. You know, I brought my Bible to church, so I even got maybe an extra couple of points on my ticket because I brought my Bible. You know, I'm getting my ticket punched. See, there's no life there. There's no revelation there. Because you see, if you and I understand that when we come together, that we're putting ourselves in a position to praise and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where God says He will inhabit the praises of His people. It's important for me to get together in the house of God with the family of God, because I want to be in the presence of God. And without the body of Christ, yes, I can be in the presence of God, but how much more exciting and how much more power is there when Martha and Charlie and Dan and Anna and Michelle and Pastor Don and all of us get together and the power of God that's on the inside of her connects with the power of God that's on the inside of me, and the power of God on the inside of all of us begins to be revealed. It's on the inside of us and it's coming out of us by the praise and the attitude, character of the release of God in our midst, the word of God, the prayer of God, the the life of God, the praise of God, it's all happening, and the presence of God is here. And how many of us know that that much more presence can take care of anything that's going on in our lives? So I don't just come to church to get my ticket punched. I come to church because I want to be in church with the saints. This is the people for whom Christ died. Look at your neighbor and say, did you know Christ died for you? That's right. And because you're so important to God that He sent His Son to die for you, how much more excited should I be to be in the presence of God with you? You're one for whom Christ died. And I didn't come today to get my ticket punched. I came so I could be with you. So I could be with you. And it didn't matter whether we agree on everything, whether we've got all our I's dotted or our T's crossed, or that I'm in a coat and a tie, or you're in pajamas. I mean, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what color our skin is. It doesn't matter where we are economically. It doesn't matter if you're Mr. Somebody and I'm Mr. Nobody. It doesn't matter. We are all people for whom Christ died. And He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because there's something important that you'll never get if you do forsake it. It's important to be together so we can know the wisdom, counsel, advocate, counsel of God by the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos that's on the inside of us. Did we go to Ephesians chapter 1 yet? Did I read that yet? Okay, I read that. And see, Paul's prayer of here is that the church would have revelation by the Spirit of wisdom, by the Holy Spirit. And when we have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, He will bring revelation. He will bring revealed change. Pastor's recently gotten revelation about homecoming. And it's stirring on the inside of him. It's powerful on the inside of him. And every day he thinks about it, he gets some more revealed knowledge or revealed action to take concerning homecoming. And you and I should get just as excited, because if he's that excited, how much more should we be excited? Guess what? That means, you know what that says to me? God's going to do something on that day that maybe He's been waiting since the foundation of the earth to do in our midst, that maybe He's been waiting since the foundation of the earth to do for one person. For one person. And if it were you or if it were me, how much more would I need to make sure I was in preparation? But you see, if I love you like God's called me to love you, I should be just as excited that God may do it for you, even if I get left out. Because guess what? The truth of the matter is, if He does it for you, it's happening for me. Because any way He blesses you, I get to spill over. It's the way it works. And folks say, I almost sit at home and my church is the TV. Mm-hmm. No, you may get some spiritual understanding. You may get some spiritual revelation. You may get some great word, but you will never receive what God intended you for you to receive without the assembling of yourselves together, without the body of Christ. It'd be terrible one day to find out that God said, you know, I had a miracle. And I was waiting for you to be at Lamplight on Sunday morning. I was waiting for you to be there. And you said, no, I think I'll just stay home and watch church. And before the foundation of the world, I said that on January 16, 2011, I was going to impart that wisdom. And you said, you know what? I'm too tired to get up and go this morning. I just don't think I want to go. Now, I am not trying to heap condemnation on people to be in church. I'm just saying there's something we need to think about before we just choose not to show up. Thank you, preacher. There's something we need to think about before we just say, you know, I'm just too tired. I've had a busy, busy week. Y'all, I thought last Sunday was this morning. I mean, I was like, what? And I'm like, you know, I feel like I just preached this message yesterday. And it's been a week. What happened to this week? I don't know, but thank God, last Sunday I was in the house of God, and even though I was preaching, I stirred myself up. And I've been excited about it all week long. Let's go to another scripture because I'll keep preaching. Oh, let me say this too. Wisdom. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit gives me or gives us the ability to have revelation of Jesus in wisdom. A lot of folk know Jesus, but they don't know him in wisdom. And the only way we'll understand to Jesus in wisdom is to understand by the person of the Holy Spirit who reveal it by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Wisdom, and this is what I wrote, and it may not make sense to you, but I hope you'll write it down the way I wrote it. Wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge. I'll say it again. The ability to use the knowledge that you got from the revelation. Wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge that you got from the revelation, the revealed action of God. Now, how many of us in our life have heard things that we knew would be good to do, but we didn't carry it out? Then we didn't walk with that information with wisdom. We just simply got the information, maybe filed it back there in the computer somewhere, up here. Maybe we just thought about it for a little bit, but we never actually began to walk out in that revealed knowledge. And in doing so, we weren't wise with the revelation of God. Because wisdom says, wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge that you got from the revelation. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. There's some people who says, I don't need the church. The Bible says to make sure that those who are over you, that they are over you with gladness. We'll look at that scripture down the road. The scripture says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. There's churches today that if you entered his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, that absolutely fall apart. And I'm not saying you have to worship the way I worship. It's all an attitude. It's all an attitude. It's not the expression. It's the attitude. I can have a great attitude and have a terrible expression on my face. One thing I've learned, if I have a good attitude, it eventually will affect my expression. But some folks, it takes a bit longer. You know, there's some folks, it takes a while to get moved. I mean, they can be as joyous as they want to on the inside, but it's not showing up on their face. Sometimes I say, you know, some people need to let their joy just swell up on the inside of them and explode in their face. I won't tell that story. Okay. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, scripture 4. Hallelujah. Oh, good. We're not moved by 12 o'clock, but I know what happens when 12 o'clock comes. So, Matthew chapter 16. Wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge that you got from the revelation or the knowledge revealed. And Jesus is building his church on revelation knowledge. Jesus is building his church on revealed action. Look with me. One of my favorite scriptures, I talk about it all the time, and I keep telling you that one of these days we're going to look at these scriptures. Well, today is the day. On Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, now remember this. Anytime Jesus asks a question, it wasn't because he needed information. He's trying to stir something on the inside. Many times when you begin to start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit of God, y'all, what I've learned more about the Holy Spirit than I have anything else about the Holy Spirit is when he speaks to me, it usually comes in question form. Yeah. And the reason is because he wants me to search out something that's already on the inside of me. He doesn't have to tell me anymore. He's already revealed it to me. I just need to find what it is, get through my thinking, and get to His thinking. But Jesus said here, and it's in question form, He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So what they're saying is, you know, people are saying you're somebody. I mean, because they're not talking derogatory here. Y'all know what derogatory means? That's a good word. That was my new word for the week. Okay, they're not talking in negative terms. They're being positive. You know, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say maybe you're Jeremiah. And they start naming all these prophets. He said, but then he says this, but who do you say that I am? Again, he's asking a question, not because he wants to hear just what's coming out of their mouth, but he wants to hear what's coming out of the heart. And old Peter finally said something right. He answered and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed, blessed, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So what he's saying here is there's been some revelation knowledge. There's been some revealed action that has just come forward. Right in the midst of the disciples, revelation, boom. He says, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this. Number one was the question. Number two was the question Jesus asked him about what do men say. Number two was the question Jesus said, but who do you say? Peter gave the answer. And then Jesus said, but flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And number three, he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, the real word for the word rock there is revelation, revealed action. He said, upon this revealed action that Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the God. He said, upon this revealed action, upon this revelation, upon this rock, I'm going to build the church. Now, in those days, to say something was as solid as a rock meant that it's not going anywhere. He says, upon this rock. That means upon this establishment that will never change, that will never go. He says, upon this revealed action, he says, I'm going to build the church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And then down the road, when I get to preach again, this next verse gave me a whole sermon. And he said, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You want to bind the enemy? He'll be bound on earth. He'll be bound in heaven. If he's bound in heaven, he's not going to bother you. If you need some healing, he said, if you want to loose it on earth, it'll be loosed in heaven. Come right your way. Glory. You need some provision? Then you, in the wisdom of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the word of the Holy Spirit, if you want to loose that, he says, you get the mind of God. There's a lot of folk out there saying all kinds of stuff that they didn't get from the mind of God. They got because they were looking at the Bible. Well, the Bible says this, so I'm going to claim it, and I'm going to live in it, and that's what's going to happen. Well, you know what? Without the revelation of the, by the Spirit, that word will not do what people say it'll do without the Holy Spirit. That's a whole nother message, but it's an important one. But the Holy Spirit is a revelation, and he says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is building his church on that revelation. Quickly, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Oh, man, I was reading this morning, and I had to put my Bible down because I was getting too happy. Proverbs chapter 2. Y'all can't believe that, do you? Look at this. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to read about the first 11 verses, about the first half of this Proverbs, because this is the real positive. This is real positive. The last part actually is kind of negative, but I don't want to go there right now. I want to talk about this positive part. He says, my son and my daughters, that's all of us. He says, If you receive my words and you treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. Now, who is wisdom? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit equals wisdom. He said, if you receive my words and treasure my commands that are within, and you incline your ears to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Who gives us the understanding? The Holy Spirit. And if you cry out for discernment, who's going to give us discernment? The Holy Spirit. And if you lift up your voice for understanding, who gives us understanding? The Holy Spirit. He said, if you seek her as silver and you search for her as for hidden treasures, he said, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I love it. For the Lord gives wisdom. Who is wisdom? Y'all help me preach this morning. Who is wisdom? That's right. And the Holy Spirit. And from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up, Lord, my goodness. When I saw this morning, I wanted to dance in the kitchen. Look at this. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He stores up sound wisdom. I don't know about you guys, but I've had some pretty weak wisdom in my life. And it may have gotten me to a level of success or a level of going forward, but it will not do for me what the sound wisdom of God will do for me. And He says, if you know the Holy Spirit, if you understand the Holy Spirit, if you have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, if you have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, if you have the revelation of the Holy Spirit, He said, you will have the sound wisdom of God. And if there's anything in this earth we need today more than anything else, we need the sound wisdom of God. And y'all, if it weren't available, it wouldn't be in here. If it weren't available, I wouldn't be preaching it. It's available. The sound wisdom of God. I was thinking about you. We were singing, God will make a way. I was thinking about you, honey, and I know that you're going through a rough time. But the sound wisdom of God for you is that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways you cannot see. He will make a way for you. He'll be your guide. He'll hold you closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He'll make a way. You watch and see. My heart is so full for you because I know this is not easy. But you've made a wise decision, young lady. A wise decision. And God knows that. And in your innocence and in your place where you are right now, you need to know that God knows everything. And He's going to take care of things. And see, with that, you can hold on. And you'll know that no matter what you have to walk through in the next few months, that God will give you the strength to walk through it. And when you feel like it's not there, you can call on the very power of God. And God's going to give you what you need. There's some folks in this room who couldn't do it. They would have made other decisions. Next week is the Sanctity for Life Sunday. I would give anything if I could get my oldest son to come and share with this church how God saved his life. Because when his mama found out she was pregnant with him, the council of the place where she found out she was pregnant said, go find this baby's father, get $250, and we'll take care of the problem. And she came to me, I was 19 years old, and said, I need $250. We had broken up, weren't even seeing each other. I said, okay. She said, don't you want to know what for? And I said, no, we dated 6 years. I figure if you need it, you need it. I'll figure out what I can do. And she said, She said, I went to Planned Parenthood Thursday. And I found out I'm pregnant and I need $250 for you. That's what she was told. Do you know it was about 4 days later that somebody sat in front of me and said, do you believe that baby's yours? I went, baby? What are you talking about? I was 19 years old. All I knew, it was a problem. And somebody said to me, Do you believe you're that baby's father? I mean, wait a minute. When did we start talking about a baby? And the wisdom of God sent somebody who got in my face who said to me, that baby deserves, if anything, deserves life. And he's 32 years old today. He's a psychologist. He works with people who have crisis problems. And he'll tell anybody, anywhere, for any reason, that it doesn't matter what the circumstances were around your birth. God knew before the foundation of the world, and he has a plan for you. You know what? That comes from the wisdom of God. What if I had kept thinking about my problem? I was 19 years old. I didn't understand what it was. Nobody said the word baby. You say, well, they said pregnant. To a 19-year-old boy, that doesn't mean baby. That means problem. Finally, somebody got in my face and said, do you believe that baby's yours? I went, what are you talking about? Yes. And he's 32 years old today. And this month, probably this month, he's going to be a daddy. I'm going to be a grandpa. Hallelujah. But what if I had stayed in the council of where my mind was in the lack of wisdom, not knowing the person of the Holy Spirit, not knowing wisdom at all? What if I'd stayed there? Y'all, he wouldn't be here today. It's amazing, isn't it? He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. If you don't get anything else I say today and you get that, write it down, put it on the refrigerator this week. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He stores up sound wisdom. You say, Mike, I've been bad this week. Well, confess your sin before God. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin, can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Once it's confessed, guess what? You're upright. And the word says that the Lord has stored up wisdom for you. I can't even fathom that, y'all. Sometimes we think, oh, I hope I get something out of this message today. Man, I just hope I get something that will help me. In the natural, I've gone every path, every avenue, every step, every road, everything, every person that I can think of, and I'm not getting anywhere. Guess what? There's some stored up wisdom for you today. If that don't help you, then I'm sorry. I don't know what can help you, but that has helped me big time today, right now. Because I need some of that stored up wisdom in my life. And there's some folks in this room that you need some stored up wisdom. And there's some folks in this room that we know somebody that needs the very stored up wisdom of God. And y'all, if it's there for anybody, it's there for me. If it's there for anybody, it's there for you. If it's there for anybody, it's there for them. The stored up wisdom of God. Man, hallelujah. Now look at this. When you get the stored up wisdom for God, look at this. He is a shield for those who walk uprightly. He's a shield. You know what that means? Is once I've got the wisdom of God, once I've got the counsel of God, once I know the advocate of God, once I know the comforter of God, that he is a shield for me. I wish we could see you've seen those things on TV where those guards had those shields in front of them. They're all lined up together and they're walking through those crowds of people and they got those big shields. You know what I'm talking about? We see them on TV. Well, guess what? God is a shield for you. That means when you take your step, guess what's in front of you? The shield of God. And if something's trying to come to you from the right, guess what's there? A shield of God. If something's coming to right, trying to come to you from the left, guess what's there? A shield of God. If something from your past keeps trying to creep up on you, to pull you back and say, see what you did back there? You're never going to be. Guess what's going to stop it before it gets to you? The very shield of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The shield of God. He is a shield for you. He's around you. He's covering you. Now some folks this week, you're going to see a level of victory because you understand the shield of God is before you. If you don't know it, the word says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. If you don't know it, you can't depend upon it. That's right. But now we know.
Oh, I love the scripture.
He said he's a shield to those who walk right. This is, he guards the path of justice. He guards the path of justice. You say, well, Brother Mike, I've got a word from God. I know what it is I'm supposed to do. I know where I'm supposed to. Guess what? God's guarding your path now. He's guarding your path. He knows where you're headed. He knows what's going to happen. And he's guarding your path. That means everything's going to be away. Okay. For her and for you. Glory to God. He said he guards the paths of the justice and he preserves the way of his saints. I'm telling you, this ought to make every one of us jump up and run around the room. Okay. He says, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Man. Let me say that again. He says, he guards the path of the justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then, when you understand that he's storing up wisdom for the upright and he's a shield to those who walk uprightly, he says, then you will understand righteousness and justice. There's a lot of folk who do not understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because we don't have revelation of the Spirit of God that is walking before us, beside us, and behind us. And therefore we get pulled back to our old way of thinking. And we don't understand that I am not righteous today because of anything that I've done. I'm righteous today because before the foundation of the world, God sat down with God, who sat down with God and said, we got a plan. And our plan will make you righteous. I'm not righteous today because of what I've done. I'm righteous today because of what Jesus did. He said, then you will understand righteousness and justice. In the present system, y'all, there's no understanding of justice. I don't know how much you've been to the court systems in this nation and in this world and in this city, but there is not justice. But you see, my justice is not dependent upon this world system. My justice is dependent upon the person and the presence and the revealed knowledge of the Holy Spirit of God. That's where my justice comes from. When people do me wrong, it would be very easy for me to make a list of people that I want to do back to. But you see, my justice doesn't come from me doing back. Because then I'll start reaping what I'm sowing. But if I just keep my heart and my attitude right before God, He'll take care of and justice will prevail. And many times, His justice toward them is that they'll have breakthrough and they'll find life and they'll find victory. And they'll find Jesus Christ. And they'll find everything that they need. Isn't that something? What the enemy meant for harm, God will turn around for our good. All of this will preach a whole sermon. He said, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. One last scripture and I'm going to quit. Isaiah 33. And we'll begin with the one in 1 Corinthians on Wednesday night. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Isaiah chapter 33. Verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge. Who is wisdom? And who is knowledge? Listen to this. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. And the fear of the Lord is His treasure. Wisdom and knowledge will be the strength of your times. Will be the stability of your times. I've got to keep my glasses on. Will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. What God is speaking to us is He's wanting us to come to Him with a heart of reverence, understanding that the Holy Spirit will be our wisdom. The Holy Spirit will be our understanding. The Holy Spirit will be our strength. The Holy Spirit will be whatever we need. He sent Him to do that. Kathy, did you have a question for me? Okay. He will be the sure foundation for your times. What are we building our foundation upon? There's some folk that are building their foundation upon past hurts. You know what that means? They stay there. And when you stay there, guess what keeps coming? The same things. There's some folks that are building their foundation upon when they can get in a bottle. Some folks are building their foundation in another person. Your foundation has to be in the Holy Spirit. Because He equals wisdom. He equals wisdom. Father, I thank You for everyone in this room. Lord, I sense Your presence right now in a tangible way. Lord, there's some folks here today that just are hearing these words saying, I wish they'd be true. And somehow, God, I ask You to get through their mind and release on the inside of them revelation of who You really are. Somehow, some way. Whether it happens today, tomorrow, through this week, or down the road, you're the timer. But I ask You, Father, reveal Yourself to the hearts of these people. And Lord, that we would understand that our foundation, that the stability of our times is not in a president, is not in a system, is not in a nation. And we're thankful for all of those. But our stability is in You. Our stability is in You. Hallelujah. And Lord, that we will leave this place today with revealed action in mind. Not style, not because Mike got excited or because we read so many scriptures or he got through them all. But we're going to leave this place because, Lord, there's something on the inside of us that is stirring us to move forward. Because there's no such thing as status quo in You. You're always moving us forward. And that, Lord, as we begin this understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we're not moved by manifestations, by tongues or interpretation of tongues or discernment of spirits. All that's important. It has its place. But the most important thing about the Holy Spirit is You said He has come to us to bring us Your wisdom. Your wisdom. And everything else will fall in its place at the proper time and in the proper way. And I thank You for that. Holy Spirit, I ask You to rest upon everyone in this room. There are people in this room who just need to open up and allow You to come in. And I thank You, Father, for the release and the ability to do that even now. And if that's you, just open up your heart and just say, come on in, Holy Spirit. Maybe there's somebody today that you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You're not even born again. But you know that there's something more than where you are. Well, this message is for you. The answer is Jesus. Before you leave this place, please stop someone and say to them, that was me. I'm not a Christian and I want to be born again. And if you'll do that, if you want to come to me, I'll be glad to pray with you. Maybe like my friend Dan here on the front row, he was driving to work on December the 28th and he opened his heart to Jesus Christ. And he said, I finally got it. I finally understand. And I opened my heart to Jesus. He was driving to work in the car. And he got saved on December 28th. Now he's pursuing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it's just what's next. And very interesting to me, y'all, this is how the Holy Spirit is. I know I'm praying and talking at the same time, but I want you to hear this. The Lord gave him a song. And the words of that song is what brought him to that place of being able to receive Jesus. And that song was, "There is a fountain," that our pastor played for us today. Isn't that amazing? God is the great orchestrator. I don't know where you are or what you're dealing with today, but your answer is the Spirit. We can hear by the Spirit. We can know by the Spirit. We can walk by the Spirit. We can live by the Spirit. It's all the great design of God. And the Spirit will be our wisdom. The Spirit is our wisdom. Anything else is wrong. Lord, reveal yourself to us like never before. And see in our hearts an attitude of gratitude and a heart of yes. Whatever it is you have for me, Lord, yes. Whatever it is you ask of me, Lord, yes. Whatever it is you want, yes. Not my will, just like Jesus prayed, but yours be done. In this earth, in my life, just like it is in heaven, so be it. And everybody that agreed said amen.